Good morning. It is 9 minutes after 6 o'clock, and this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Gene Purcell, and I'm filling in today for Joy Cardine. The idea of virtual charter schools is one that has been catching on over the last few years here in Wisconsin for a whole host of reasons. But advocates for virtual charter schools say a recent court ruling regarding a Wisconsin-based virtual charter school puts other operations in the state at risk. This hour, we'll be taking a look at the issue from both sides, from advocates for virtual charter schools who say the court ruling is just one part of a concerted campaign to do away with virtual charter schools, and we'll also hear from a representative of the Wisconsin Education Association Council, which brought the original lawsuit back in 2004. What are your feelings on virtual charter schools, or on online schools in general? And are you aware of the court ruling regarding these operations? In your estimation, is the ruling correct? Essentially, that students are receiving too much of their education from their parents and not certified teachers, and therefore this particular virtual charter school should not continue to receive state funding. We'd like you to join in with your calls at 1-800-642-1234, or if you are calling from the Madison area, our local number is 263-1890. You can also join us by email. Our address there is talk@wpr.org. We're joined during this first part of the hour by Rose Fernandez. She is a parent of 4 virtual school students and also president of the Wisconsin Coalition of Virtual School Families. Good morning.
Good morning, Gene.
Good to have you along. Well, first of all, I'd like to get some background from you on why you became interested in the concept of a virtual school in the first place.
Well, this is just a different way of public schooling, Gene, and it's a model that's been successful across the country. Wisconsin isn't the only place where families find it to be something that serves their children well, and it's a way of individualized instruction, which is valued by educators pretty much universally, instruction that's tailored to where the child is, where their learning needs are, where their skills lie, and the particular school that is under attack here is a superb school, and the faculty is just extraordinary. The opportunity to work with state-certified teachers and to also be learning at home is an attractive option to hundreds of families, and an option that we're hoping we will be allowed to continue despite the efforts of the teachers' labor union.
Now, you mentioned that this is a different form of public schools, and I'm not sure everybody quite realizes that. How does it work in Wisconsin? I mean, this is a public school we're talking about, right?
It certainly is. In Wisconsin, we're very fortunate because of the foresight of our legislature establishing open enrollment as an option, and the charter schools that offer variety, different ways of doing things under the umbrella of the public school system. We are fortunate to have different choices. For the majority of students, the traditional classroom is a perfect fit for them, and that will be into the future, certainly the predominant way of public schooling in Wisconsin. But these options are something that meet the needs of many students. Some of the virtual public school students have really been compromised in their ability to learn within the confines of a classroom. They may either need to move more quickly than the body of students that the teacher needs to manage in a single classroom, or they, you know, maybe a student who really is overwhelmed by the classroom environment and the requirements of learning in a large group and time constraints and so forth. Many students who have autistic challenges, they have never been successful in learning and find for the first time when they're able to work in the virtual public school model under the direction of the expert faculty and with the curriculum as I've described it to be individualized to meet their strengths, that they actually begin to thrive for the first time, and the prospect of the teachers' union taking that away from them without really studying the model, without looking at why it's successful for these students is so very difficult to understand.
Now, the particular school here, the Wisconsin Virtual Academy, is the one that is most directly affected by this court ruling. And you are afraid that it could affect others, other virtual schools as well.
Well, the court ruling most recently that was announced the first week of December, the Court of Appeals in District 2, is just such a broad ruling that the court itself predicts that it will lead to absurd results. They speak about the requirement that anyone who performs any teaching function in any public school requires a certification. Now, that's something that would make WEAC happy. They would like to have as many certified teachers because those teachers are required to pay dues to WEAC. But that doesn't serve our neighborhood schools, and it certainly stifles any development of schools using something like the virtual model.
We're talking about virtual charter schools this hour here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, and we'd like to find out what you think in a lawsuit that was brought by a WEAC a couple of years ago. A Court of Appeals ruled early in December that the internet-based Wisconsin Virtual Academy was violating state law. And we're talking with a couple of people on both sides of the issue this morning, and we'd like to find out what you think as well. Here's the toll-free number you can call. It is 800-642-1234. I'm Gene Purcell, filling in for Joy Cardine here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Good morning. It's 18 minutes past 6 o'clock. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Gene Purcell, filling in for Joy Cardine. You heard the Kathleen Dunn promo there a few minutes ago. This reminder that Kathleen will be live in Dubuque, Iowa this morning, and she'll be discussing the results from the Iowa caucus. That's coming up after 9 this morning here on the Ideas Network. This hour, we are talking about virtual charter schools here in the state of Wisconsin and a recent court ruling that could affect their future. This part of the half hour, we are talking with Rose Fernandez, a parent of 4 virtual school students and president of the Wisconsin Coalition of Virtual School Families. We'd like to find out what you think as well. 800-642-1234. And a note that after the bottom of the hour, we'll be joined from a representative of WEAC to talk about their side of this particular issue. Rose Fernandez, before the break, we were talking about the impact that you felt this court ruling might have on virtual charter schools in Wisconsin. And I guess in a more pragmatic sense, what ruling has this had already on the Wisconsin Virtual Academy?
Well, the ruling is a death sentence for this school, Gene. And right now, the school district, the Northern Ozaukee School District, which chartered the school, has announced that they will be appealing, asking the Supreme Court to hear the case. And that appeal should be filed today. And we're very hopeful that there will be a stay associated with that that will allow the school to remain open. The Department of Public Instruction is also involved in this lawsuit. Rather than defending the charter school that they authorized, they have backed the efforts of WEAC to close the school. And in representing them, the Department of Justice called for the court to withhold funding to the Wisconsin Virtual Academy. So our school district has stepped forward and informed families that they will not leave students hanging in the middle of a school year, that public school students are entitled to complete their year of learning, and teachers are entitled to complete their year of teaching in a Wisconsin public school for which they are still in control. So they will allow us to finish out this school year, and we will be eagerly waiting to hear that the Wisconsin Supreme Court will hopefully hear a case of such extreme importance to Wisconsin parents, and we will hear that, expect to hear that later this spring.
We're going to get to listeners in just a second, but before we do, I want to talk about the ruling itself a little bit. As I understand it, there are two basic parts to the ruling. One, the one we can start talking about, is the role that parents play in education. And again, I'm no attorney, but as I understand the ruling, it's something along the lines of that the court felt that parents were playing too large a role in the education of the kids, and certified teachers were not playing a large enough role to satisfy these requirements.
Gene, that's a good summary of part of it. I'm not an attorney either. I'm a parent and care about this extraordinarily deeply. But as far as the specifics of the legal argument, there are really three prongs to it, and the ruling affects all of them. The ruling found that the school was in violation of the charter school laws and the open enrollment laws because students do not all live within the school district where the school is chartered from. And that's kind of a given, of course, in a virtual public school. The entire reason why the school operates is to provide instruction virtually. But our current laws didn't anticipate that, and WEAC and DPI have used that to their advantage and finally found three judges who bought their absurd ideas of how open enrollment should be restricted. Since for WEAC, that's really their bottom line, is stopping these different ways of public schooling. And then the other part of the argument on their side is that, yes, you say it very well, that as hard as it is to believe, they are saying that parents are too involved. Whenever a public school is failing, it's always blamed on parents who aren't involved. And in this situation, they are blaming us for caring too much about the public instruction that our children receive. And that's also part of this model. Of course, the teachers don't live with us, and the instruction happens within our home, but we are all, each student has a state-certified public school teacher, and in this model, and in this particular school, the teachers are all veteran teachers with 15, 20, 30 years of classroom experience who have chosen this way of teaching, they've never been asked by their union why they've chosen it. The school has never been studied for why it's successful, why our state testing scores are as high as they are, why more parents every year choose this way of learning despite the dark cloud that's been hanging over us since the beginning of the school with this lawsuit. Rather than looking at what is successful, what really has made a great public school in a different way, WEAC and DPI have said, we don't like different. We want it our way, and this school has to go.
Let's find out what listeners think about this. Paul joins us, and Paul is in Chippewa Falls this morning. Hi.
My concern with the virtual school in the question here is it really isn't a virtual school. It's a home school. And I think the decision here in the lawsuit was really about that homeschool is great. Homeschool is fine for those parents that choose that, but homeschool is not funded by taxpayers. And a virtual charter school that's set up the way this one is really a homeschool situation that's funded by taxpayers. And in this particular instance, it's fueled by profit motives, really, of big companies like K12.com, various other private interests that want to kind of get their nose under the tent and sell curriculum this way. So in this school situation, a box is basically sent home. Parents could also buy the same material from these companies, but instead they're using this private school charter route to do it.
Paul, thanks for the comments. And Rose Fernandez, what about that? I mean, it is homeschooling in a sense, but you could just homeschool kids without public funding.
Well, certainly. Thousands of families do. I did before we found this way of public schooling. Paul's really couldn't be further from the truth in what he has to say about the way this school operates. I can tell you I've done homeschooling. This is not homeschooling. I'm not free to make decisions with my students who are in the Wisconsin Virtual Academy as I was when I was calling the shots. We have a mandated curriculum. We have mandated progress through the curriculum. We have mandated flow of topics. I can't decide that I want to do something that is out of order in the sequence of lessons. Our teachers are the ones who decide whether the student has mastered the content and whether they're ready to move on to the next level. Our teachers are the ones who decide whether our students will be promoted to the next grade. Students who graduate from the Wisconsin Virtual Academy hold a public school diploma, and they're required to take state testing just like any other student in any other public school. We have mandatory attendance. When you're a homeschooler, you can decide when you're going to study and when you're not. You can set all of those expectations for yourself as long as you meet the minimum requirements as defined under law. WEAC likes to cloud this situation and speak of this as homeschooling, but that's certainly a misnomer in this situation. They are two completely different ways of teaching children, two completely different ways of approaching things. And we are somewhere in the middle of the traditional classroom public school and the independent homeschooler. We're a bit of a zebra here. And for Paul and many others like him, it's a little bit different to get your arm, a little bit difficult to get your arms around that. But this is a new way of learning that's catching on all across the country. And it's time for our public school system to realize that. Many of us as adults operate virtually in our work lives. It's about time that we look at that as a very viable and a very successful option within the public school system. And he also mentioned profit motives of the curriculum provider here. And I really challenge him to go to any neighborhood public school and take a look at what companies derive profit from providing services to them. Certainly, textbook companies make a great deal of money off of Wisconsin public school textbook orders, and our curriculum provider is just like any other one, nothing different about it. We do depend on companies to help us educate our children in America.
And we're going to have to hold it there, Rose Fernandez. Thanks a lot for your time.
Thank you very much, Gene. Appreciate your interest very much.
Rose Fernandez has been with us, parent of four virtual school students and president of the Wisconsin Coalition of Virtual School Families. We'll continue our discussion after this break here on WPR. Good morning. It's 25 minutes before 7 o'clock. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Gene Purcell, and I'm filling in for Joy Cardine this morning. This hour, we are taking a look at the idea of virtual charter schools, and this is the result of a court case that happened early in December. The State Court of Appeals ruled unanimously that an internet-based Wisconsin Virtual Academy, a virtual charter school, was violating state law. Earlier in the hour, we talked with a backer of the virtual school concept about virtual charter schools in Wisconsin and the value that they see in them. For the rest of this hour, for this half hour, we'll be talking with Mary Bell. She is the president of the Wisconsin Education Association Council, and WEAC brought the original lawsuit, as I understand it, back in 2004. So we'll find out what WEAC's position on this is. We'd like to find out what your position as well. You can call in at 800-642-1234. That's our toll-free number. If you're calling from the Madison area, here's the local number. It is 263-1890. You can also use our email address, and that is talk at WPR.org. Mary Bell, good morning. Welcome to Wisconsin Public Radio.
Good morning. I'm pleased to be here.
As I understand it, WEAC did bring the original lawsuit back in 2004. First of all, is that correct? And if so, why did WEAC choose that path?
Yeah, we did bring the original lawsuit, and in fact, even before we filed for that lawsuit, we had raised significant questions about whether the charter as it was issued by the school district would meet the test under state law. And it was not a question specifically about WEVA, but about virtual charters in general and how they were addressed or not addressed under state law.
And when you say WEVA, that is the Wisconsin Virtual Academy, which
yes.
is the school in question here. Mm-hmm. Now, the Court of Appeals ruling in early December ruled on a couple of points. First of all, the role of parents in the education of the kids, and as opposed to the role of certified licensed instructors. And then the second element had to do with the open enrollment concept and where students were coming from. So I'm wondering if you could address those two elements of the ruling and how WEAC's position on them.
Well, I've been a public school teacher for 26-plus years. Parental involvement is a key that we have always counted on, that WEAC has, in fact, published and tried to encourage. But the research shows that the delivery of instruction by highly qualified teachers is essential to student success, acting with parents, but not substituted by parents. And so our concern with this was addressed by the courts. The idea that open enrollment laws were being ignored, basically, or not used as they were intended or as the law envisioned at the time it was written, was another concern that we had and certainly part of the lawsuit that the court found in our favor on.
Now, if you were listening to the first part of the program, we had Rose Fernandez on as a guest, president of the Wisconsin Coalition of Virtual School Families. And during that half hour, I don't want to put words in her mouth, but she really sort of painted WEAC as an organization more scared of change than anything, and not really interested in education, and almost as a bully, quite frankly. And I'm wondering how you feel about that, because I have to say, if you do a little bit of work on the internet, it's a pretty pervasive attitude out there.
Well, it is a broad misinterpretation of our role, and certainly of how our members feel about where they work and what they do. I spent, as I said, 26 years as a school media specialist, and my belief in technology and what technology brings to instruction, how we use distance learning and various technologies to open our classrooms and provide opportunities to our students, those are values that our members hold and work with every day. This is not about that. This is about what the law addresses and how it assures quality, fair access, and accountability for public dollars.
We'd like to bring some listeners into the conversation. Here is our toll-free number. It is 800-642-1234, or if you're calling from the Madison area, 263-1890. Let's go to Rich right now, and Rich is with us. I think this is from Hustisford. Is that correct?
Hustisford.
Hustisford. All right. Well, good morning, Rich.
Good morning. Well, I just wanted to say I had 2 points. One, I don't believe in the charter school system nor the virtual school system. I think it takes so much away from children. There's the social interactions that school is for, not only learning math and science and history, but it's also to learn how to interact with other people, interact with other children, interact with adults, and they lose all of that being in a charter system. And the other thing is, I wish they would take all the money that they spend on charter and for virtual charter or whatever that they're using it for and put it into the school systems. Pay our teachers more. Give them more resources to do their jobs so that we wouldn't have this problem. If that's what the school system and the public school system is there for. And to have these charter schools and virtual schools, I just don't believe in it at all.
Rich, thanks for the call. And Mary Bell, is that the issue for WEAC, charter schools or virtual schools? I mean, we've been talking about some of the legalities, the concerns you have on that end, but is it a larger issue than just those?
No, we've operated with charter schools for a long time, and it's not that we don't have concerns and constantly look for the quality and accountability issues for charter schools. That's certainly part of what we do with all of our schools, whether they're regular parts of the district or special schools like charters. But it's really how the law addresses virtual education and virtual schools, virtual charters in this case.
So you're saying there basically is a place for it, but it's got to fit within the rules.
Exactly. And the law simply, as the court case showed, does not address it effectively.
Margaret is with us now from Madison. Good morning, Margaret.
Hi, thank you. I looked into the Wisconsin Virtual Academy for one of my daughters, and in my opinion, it had the worst of both features. It has the isolation of a homeschool, but the rigidity of the public school structure with all the curriculum being very prescribed and what follows each curriculum step being prescribed. Also, because it's officially a public school, there are 180 school days, and the kids are required to be on the computer a minimum of 5 hours a day on each of those school days. So there's no flexibility. What sweetens the pot for parents and gets them, I think, to buy into it more is that the virtual school provides them with a lot of the curriculum materials, including the math manipulatives and the science and measuring things that go along with the curriculum. But it's still not a good match for most kids.
So, Margaret, what did you wind up doing as an option for your children?
My daughter stayed in public school.
All right, there it is. Margaret, thanks for the call. And Mary Bell, I have to say that in some of the research I did for this, there is a considerable amount of concern out there among parents, and in fact among homeschoolers. I was really sort of interested to find that a lot of them don't like this virtual school concept as well. They think it sort of infringes on their rights.
Well, we've long had homeschooling in the state of Wisconsin, and parents who choose that option are looking for the kind of flexibility Margaret was just talking about. If they seek public funding, there are laws that go around that that come with that, and that really is essentially what we were talking about, is to what degree do the virtual charters address the laws or are addressed under the laws that exist, and they really aren't.
Carissa is with us now from Belgium. Good morning.
Hi. First, I'd like to say virtual schools are not homeschools. They are like homeschool in that they are at home, and they are more stiff than homeschools, but they are a public school.
And Carissa, I take are you a virtual school student?
Yes, I'm in eighth grade.
Okay. And how long have you been doing that?
This is my third year.
And were you in public school before? Were you being homeschooled? Or
I was in school until third grade, and then I was homeschooled for 2 years.
Okay, so you've had all the experiences. And how do you like virtual school compared to the other experiences you've had?
I think it works really well. You get a lot of practice writing, and it's also, it is definitely more flexible than a normal school, and that works well for lots of people. Like, if you can do just a day of math lessons or a day of history or science, and then the next day do a day of all another lesson.
Okay, so you hope, I imagine, that this court ruling that we've been talking about, Carissa, will be turned around somehow, and is your virtual school being affected by this?
I'm in WEVA, yes.
Okay, I see. Well, Carissa, thanks for your call, and Mary Bell will get a response from you. We've got to take a break right now, but we'd like to find out what you think about that call as well. I'm Gene Purcell, and I am filling in this morning for Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 12 minutes before 7 o'clock. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up after 7, we'll be taking our first look today at the results from the Iowa caucus. And then coming up this morning after 9, join Kathleen Dunn. She'll be broadcasting live from Dubuque, Iowa, and following up with more discussion about the results of the Iowa caucus, and she has some special guests lined up for that 9 o'clock hour. So we'll be doing a lot of caucus results talking this morning, and for the rest of this hour, though, we are continuing our discussion on the idea of virtual charter schools. Mary Bell is my guest during this half hour, president of the Wisconsin Education Association Council. In 2004, WEAC brought a lawsuit against the idea of some of these virtual charter schools that are operating around the state of Wisconsin. And a recent court decision in December means that at least some of their points were taken up by the court. Mary Bell, before the break, we heard from a virtual school student who really likes the concept of virtual schools, who likes her experience a great deal. And, you know, as an educator, that has to mean something to you.
Oh, absolutely. We want students to be involved and enjoy their education. But what she described is certainly one of the potential benefits of virtual education. It doesn't mean that the law doesn't need to address what the requirements are if public dollars are involved, and that's our real concern. Quality, accountability, access, what's provided to students, including CRISA.
Now, earlier this morning when we were talking with Rose Fernandez, she mentioned that appeal is going to be filed with the Supreme Court today, as I understand it.
I believe so.
And so, I mean, I know you're probably not in the business of making predictions, but how do you think this is all going to play out? I mean, it's been getting a lot of media attention, certainly a lot of internet attention. Is it going to, obviously it's something you're going to be watching.
Oh, absolutely. We need to be watching it. We're paying a great deal of attention. The laws surrounding the quality, the programs, the licensure, the provision of services to students in the state of Wisconsin is of vital importance. But the appeals court decision is really very clear, and we believe that they looked at the law that existed. They said it doesn't address these questions, and the legislature needs to act, not the courts. And we believe that's where the solution needs to come.
Now, the Wisconsin Virtual Academy, or WEVA as it's called, is not the only charter school like this operating in the state. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And so how does this ruling affect some of those other operations?
Well, I am not really sure about that. I mean, they certainly are going to have to clarify their status with the Department of Public Instruction in terms of their funding options. But that really at this point is being developed, as I understand it.
So if one of these, let's just use WEVA as an example, if they did something in terms of the open enrollment, just use kids from within the district, that would satisfy that part of the ruling. And then how do you get to the point where they satisfy the part on the percentage of teacher time being used as opposed to parent time being used instructing kids?
It's not a question of time, and that's been one of the misinterpretations
okay.
that I want to be sure about. It says very clearly in the court case, it's not what the parents do, but what the school requires them to do in order to function. So it's a question of the licensed teachers providing the instruction, the parents providing the assistance in order to make that happen, but not what the what the school requires in this case.
So the school requires that licensed teachers are used, or what exactly is the school requiring?
In this particular instance, the WEVA parents teach their children. The instruction with public funding comes with licensed teachers providing the instruction, parents assisting.
Okay, and so as the court ruling, it says here, the problem is not that the unlicensed WEVA parents teach their kids, but that they quote, teach in a public school. So that's kind of the issue.
Yes.
Okay, I see. And so is there really a way around that?
Well, it depends on how the legislature defines instruction in a new world of technology. Assuring that public dollars are spent in quality schools with accountability and public access, free access.
800-642-1234 is the toll-free number you can use if you'd like to join in this discussion. We're talking this morning about the idea of statewide virtual schools and an appeals court ruling that occurred early in December that ruled against a particular school and could have an impact on the operation of other virtual schools around the state. What are your feelings on virtual charter schools? Are they a good thing? Are they a bad thing? Does this ruling affect you? And should the state be working on things like charter schools or virtual schools, or should it be focusing on things like traditional education? 800-642-1234 is our toll-free number. If you're calling in from the Madison area, It is 263-1890. And you can also use email at talk@wpr.org. Mary Bell is our guest during this half hour. She is president of the Wisconsin Education Association Council. In the first part of the program, by the way, we were talking with the parent of four virtual school students and president of the Wisconsin Coalition of Virtual School Families. So we've been packing an awful lot of living into this particular program. Again, that number, 800-642-1234. And Mary Bell, as you look at the future of education, are there going to be more and more things like this that come up that that WEAC is going to be concerned about? And I'm not just talking strictly about virtual schools here, but as you look at the field of education, there are all sorts of other things going on these days.
Oh, clearly. Education is a field that the state relies on. We've talked in great detail in our position papers about things we believe are necessary in order to provide quality instruction for our students and benefits for our communities. So this is one field where the technology has gotten out ahead of the law, and we need to be sure that it addresses that. But there are lots of issues, and part of what's behind the development of some of these charter schools is really pushed by school funding issues that have to be addressed by the state.
Sheila joins us now from TOMA. And good morning, Sheila.
Hello.
Hi.
I have a son who is in WEVA, and we had just started him this school year. And he had went to public school in TOMA, and I have two other children who are also in a public school, one in fifth grade and the other one in third, and they do very well. They had no problem with the traditional classroom. However, my kindergartner did have a hard time with the traditional classroom and a lot of time spent his class time in the office. And I was very upset as a parent because I wanted my child to learn to cope with a traditional classroom, to get the help that he needed. And I got red tape all over. I had the principal telling me I can't come in and tell the school what to do. No help whatsoever on helping my child function in that classroom. Left me with no choice but to pull my child out of public school. He wasn't naughty, and I kept stressing that I believe there was something else going on. It turned out that he had a childhood anxiety disorder. Well, a teacher, if they're getting the funding for extra education or whatever, should have picked out that some of the behaviors that Calvin was showing was not naughtiness. It was simply having a hard time in that traditional classroom, and one-on-one help should have been given. However, that's not what happened. With WEVA, he's reading. His self-esteem is through the roof. I can't even go on how much he has changed. I'm scared for him. I know he cannot function in that traditional classroom again, and I feel I have no options. I called the Department of Education. What are my rights as a parent? I was very upset with what was going on in the school, felt like I wasn't getting any answers, and DPI, no answers either. You know, so for kids who cannot function in a traditional classroom, this is the best way for them to learn. That you're not going on, I mean, to me, I feel more confident in what I'm teaching Calvin and helping him learn than if I was trying to do this on my own. So I felt like I have support. I can call his teacher, email his teacher on any concerns I have with Calvin, and we can get over them. And he does get other ways of social interaction. It doesn't have to be in a classroom. It doesn't have to be in a school to learn how to function and how to work with other people as you would have to as an adult.
All right, Sheila, and I'm afraid we have to let you go here. Mary Bell, I want to give you a minute to respond to that. And Sheila, there's a parent who's got kids in traditional public school and in virtual academy, and it's a tough story to listen to. We've got a couple other listeners, I think, who are calling in with similar viewpoints. How does WEAC respond to that when you hear that sort of emotion?
Well, we absolutely share the concern of parents who want a program to address the special needs of their students, and we believe that we should be able to do that. Our concern with this was not that there aren't options for those students, but how the law addresses public funding of those options.
Mary Bell, thanks a lot for joining us this hour.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate your time. Mary Bell has been with us. She is the president of the Wisconsin Education Association Council, otherwise known as WEAC. And we were joined earlier in the hour by Rose Fernandez, president of four virtual school students and also president, or I should say parent of four virtual school students and president of the students, I suppose, president of the Wisconsin Coalition of Virtual School Families. There we go. We were talking this hour about the idea of virtual schools, virtual school funding, and a recent court case, and looks like an upcoming court case that will affect that funding here in Wisconsin. Thanks to both of those folks for making time for us. Thanks to all of you who called in as well. Carmen Jackson produced this hour. We had on-air production this morning from Cheryl Gasser. If you'd like a copy of the program, you can get one by calling the radio store or listen to our web archives. You will find them at WPR.org. I'm Gene Purcell, and I am filling in this morning for Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.